This is going to take forever. I think this is going to
what?
Be a long one.
No.
You don't think?
On the sheet, it looks long, but I think it's actually not that long.
Oh, no. I'm taking the over.
It's like three mailbag questions.
Over. Over what? I don't know, but I'm taking the over. Howdy, it's Monday, August 18th, 2025, and this is episode 260 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Askin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
As you know, I've been building up to this episode for years. 260, the roundest number.
Everyone knows that that's what we've been working towards.
Because if you're a bi-weekly podcast, I don't, is it bi-weekly or semi-weekly? I never know.
Yeah, bi-weekly means either twice a week or every other week, and you don't know which one, really.
So I'll let you decide what it means, but...
I'll tell you what we're not doing. Two episodes a week.
No. Could you imagine?
It's like 100 episodes a year, dear Lord.
Yeah, no, that's terrible. We would be on episode... I can't do the math.
Four times as much?
1,000!
Yeah, over 1,000.
Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, 26 times 10, 260... So we should be right at 10 years, but we're still 3 months away from 10 years of podcasting.
Yeah, almost exactly.
Because of the dedication that we have to keep putting out more episodes than you'd expect.
Because of the dedication we had in 2017.
Yes.
To be putting out more episodes than you'd expect.
Pretty much year one of the podcast. I think we had over 30 episodes a couple of years.
Yeah, those were the days.
What's going to be the big thing that we do in November for 10 years of podcasting?
Retire. Close the podcast.
Yeah, that's an option. I was going to say t-shirts, but ending the podcast is also an option.
Oh, t-shirts could be good. Yeah, we should look into that.
We should do 10-year anniversary t-shirts. You know how Ocean gives away, like, oh, 7th birthday t-shirts. We should give away 10th anniversary t-shirts, because that's surely what people want, and not just another regular wearable Due for a Win shirt. We have to make something very specific and date-related.
Look, that's the key, right? We have to make our giveaways something people desire and then sell on eBay.
Oh, that's true.
And surely what could be more valuable than a Due for a Win 10th anniversary t-shirt?
We can hand-number them.
Yeah.
Serial-numbered shirts.
Actually, like with a Sharpie. That's how we...
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Good ideas.
They're going to be so desirable that people are going to be bootlegging them. There's going to be fake 10th anniversary shirts out on the streets in Atlantic City.
Surely we've talked about this. I know last time I was in Blackhawk, I was talking to Tim Lawson about it, but people love the original t-shirts. Like, you will never get more comments about a shirt than when you're wearing the Due for a Win shirt.
That's true.
People cannot get enough of it in the casinos. They'll have no idea what Due for a Win is, but they love the shirt.
Right. It's funny.
I mean, it is funny.
So I guess we should make another, like, less loud Due for a Win shirt.
It should be less loud. Yeah, I think so. I'm all in, though. We could talk about this. Perhaps this weekend when we're together.
Maybe.
Not at the casino.
There's going to be 10 of us at this baseball game, so who knows how many words will be said between the two of us.
I'll always make time for you, Craig.
Oh, good. Thank you. Much like on the podcast.
Sometimes begrudgingly, but yes.
And also, sometimes not on an Atlantic City trip.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, both in Atlantic City at the same time, not to see each other.
We had a very romantic breakfast at the...
We did.
Whatever that restaurant was.
Michael Patrick's.
Michael Patrick's. Yeah.
We got a Would You Rather from listener Tom L. And this is from a listener, which is important because this episode...
It's important because we don't know if Tom L. is his real name, but go ahead.
This episode is like a mailbag episode. We got a little bit of news and then we got some mailbag. So we're starting by reaching into the mailbag for a Would You Rather. So Tom L. said, "The wife and I ended up at Rife for happy hour and they had just opened, but we were literally the only people in there. Had a nice chat with the bartender, and the happy hour was a good deal, but not the best vibe with no one there. So that prompted me to think of a would you rather. Would you rather be at a place with a great vibe, but full price and expensive, or be at a place that's a great deal, but has a blah atmosphere?" Tom L. added, "After my experience at Rife, I would have to choose A, which is a bit surprising, A being great vibe, expensive. Obviously, we all want C, the best of both worlds." What do you think? I think I'm pretty sure what you're going with, because you don't want to be around a crowd.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the B camp, a great deal, but a blah atmosphere. Because I, like you said, I don't really want to be around a crowd.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that every time I go to King's Pub, I'm the only person in there. Or me and, you know, two high school girls or whatever.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Be careful. Kyle's going to King's Pub with two high school girls.
Yeah. They got kicked out. It was fine. So, the fact that King's Pub is empty, you know, it's a little bit concerning that I'm like, this place is going out of business. But, you know, I enjoy that it's not as crowded as, like, Irish Pub, which it's often, like, you have to wedge in directly between people. Like, I like to have a little bit of buffer space on both sides of me at the bar.
Yeah. So you're value over vibes.
Yeah,
for sure.
Value over vibes, 100%.
I like to see places doing well.
You're probably in between. I don't know which way you're going to go, so.
I know, it's tough. Obviously, I would like some medium version of this. Like, I'd pay a little more, but have it be medium crowded, right? But that's not an option, and that's cheating. I think I gotta go with value over vibes also, just because as much as I want to see places in AC doing really well, I hate going to any bar where there's not an open bar stool. I don't want to hover, I don't have to order my drink and stand, I just want to sit, order some stuff, maybe chat to the bartender. Like Park Place Prime, that was fairly empty, that was still a pretty good vibe.
That was quite empty, yeah. I mean, it was like nice, I don't know about good vibe, but it was nice.
Yeah, it's nice in there. Mm-hmm. I want everything in Atlantic City to be very crowded when I'm not there. And when I'm there, I want the seas to just part so that I can get a bar stool.
Yeah, I mean, so like, let's say there is a bar stool open, but it's still good vibe, somewhat crowded, a little bit more expensive. If getting a seat wasn't something holding you up, would that change your answer?
Like, there's just always two seats, but it's otherwise super crowded?
Not super crowded, just moderately crowded. Crowded enough to have a good vibe.
Yeah, I mean, that makes me think of Angeloni's Club Madrid, mm-hmm. right? Like, there's usually people in there, but you can find a seat. That's pretty much perfect to me.
I think that you want a great deal and a blah atmosphere, but I don't know if that's actually true.
I'm certainly willing to pay. Like, I go to Super Frico Happy Hour, which is not a good deal, right? It's still expensive. So clearly
but
I'm willing to pay.
But it's a good atmosphere, right? Yeah, yeah.
For good drinks and a good atmosphere. Yeah, maybe you're right. I probably want the vibes and I'm just willing to pay for the better experience. Okay, fine. I'm changing my answer.
I'm pretty secure that I do not want to pay more and have it crowded. I might pay more for it to be less crowded, frankly.
That's a good point. All right, we have some openings and closings, starting with...
And non-openings.
Yeah, non-openings, really. The Fusion Gyms Beach Club, that big thing next to Showboat, does not appear to have opened yet. It's certainly getting a lot of attention in all the Facebook groups and on Reddit and all the other social medias.
But, you know, what's important to keep into account is that if I were trying to open a huge thing in Atlantic City, I would want to wait until the very last week of summer as well, just for maximum money losing.
Correct. So they had advertised a July 26th grand opening, including a DJ and I don't know if anything else, but their Instagram says postponed. And then their latest post on Instagram is 2 weeks ago, and it says opening soon. So that was after July 26th. I haven't seen any indication that it's actually opening. I've seen a whole lot of people saying, like, oh, people are going to steal the free weights, and like, oh, you're just making a place for homeless people to sleep. I'm not that worried about any of that stuff. But I do find it mildly concerning, just in the history of Showboat-related stuff, that this is getting delayed and delayed.
It seems like free weights would not really be a good thing to steal. The value to weight ratio is pretty low.
It's like a huge pain to steal that stuff.
Right. Like, haha, I'm going to steal this 100-pound dumbbell. Right. And like, oh shit, now I have a 100-pound dumbbell. What the hell?
Right.
Get to do my farmer's walks down the boardwalk with my stolen dumbbells.
That'd be impressive. Just steal a bunch of 45-pound plates. Come on now. So that's the Fusion Gym's latest. We'll see if they have an update. Closing soon, the Premier Nightclub at Borgata. You've got 2 weeks left. They're closing August 31st. I will link to a njbiz.com article. It opened in 2016, which is a pretty long run for a nightclub, 9 years.
Yeah.
The president and COO of Borgata, Nicholas Ritterstrom, said, "We remain committed to evolving the nightlife experience at Borgata and look forward to sharing what's next for the space in the months to come." So, probably another nightclub, I would guess.
Some nightclubs have been open. Like, Pool After Dark's been open forever, right?
Yeah, you can't really change that much.
H2O has been open the whole time that Revel /
yeah.
Ocean / whatever has been open. Do they still have Dusk at Caesars? Dusk
no,
has been there
that's
forever.
Been closed for years.
I don't know, man. That's not what I do.
Boogie Nights has been there forever.
Yeah, Boogie Nights has been there for a long time.
But, like, in Vegas, you want to be the newest, hottest thing, I think. And so the nightclubs kind of have a high turnover. So I'm assuming they're kind of just going to update the concept a bit and reopen as a nightclub.
Yeah, I'd assume so. I mean, I think it makes sense. For what it's worth, I don't hear as much about Premier as I do Pool After Dark or H2O or, you know, whatever. So
also, I have to say, I mean, maybe we're just there on weeknights, but I do remember back in the day there being a line outside of Premier, and I can't remember the last time I saw anybody waiting to go in Premier. But I wonder if it's just because we're always going Sunday nights.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that we haven't been there on a weekend in a long time.
Yeah. The weird thing is, like, Boogie Nights used to be for olds, and you could just walk right in and pay, and there wouldn't be any wait. And now Boogie Nights is hot. Like, there's a bunch of 22-year-old kids, basically, am I right? Like, waiting to go in. Like, I was over there playing video poker, and there's a huge line to get into Boogie Nights. It was, like, probably 6 months ago. So, Boogie Nights cyclical. Maybe you don't have to close and reopen the Premier Nightclub. But Borgata's doing a whole bunch of renovating and updating, so it's not surprising that this got caught up in that.
They're certainly doing a lot of work on Borgata, so.
Commendable. When you make that much money, you got to keep it fresh.
Yeah, no, I think it is actually commendable. It's easy to sit on your laurels and not make updates, but that's not what they're doing.
We talked about that with Ocean last episode. They are making money and they're making changes. So you see the updates to the property, and like sometimes we sort of laugh at some of the changes they make, like Linguini by the Sea and generic restaurants and some other stuff, but they make changes and now it feels pretty full in there. Like Borgata always felt pretty full, but they are changing stuff to keep it fresh. Speaking of keeping things fresh, the old Days Inn next to Tropicana has new life.
Bring back Country Kitchen.
As the Sea House Hotel, which we talked about when it was first announced. It is now open, including a new restaurant called Cucina del Mar.
Which doesn't sound like the Country Kitchen.
I wonder if it's in that space, though.
Maybe.
I desperately want it to be in that space. I mean, I'm assuming it would be. It's a kitchen.
It probably would be.
A restaurant space. Cucina del Mar advertised as coastal Italian cuisine and craft cocktails. They have some classic PR speak. Soulful tradition meets the rhythm of the sea at our signature restaurant where hand-rolled pastas, fire-roasted seafood, and rich desserts are plated to perfection. There's no menu on the website yet, so I can't see what of these fire-roasted seafood, hand-rolled pastas, and rich desserts are. There's also going to be is a coffee shop called CDM Bakery and Cafe. I'm assuming CDM is Cucina del Mar, so I can't tell if that's just in the same space or if it's like out in the lobby. Cucina del Mar does say they serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner, so it seems odd that it would be in the same space. I'm guessing it's like the lobby coffee shop kind of thing. But more importantly, the hotel. I did a quick rate check. Next Saturday, so August 23rd, is $307. So that's a summer August.
That's not the worst. I mean, it's probably like July would be more expensive, yeah. I would think, because we're getting towards the end of the summer. But that's still not the worst.
But that includes a $25 resort fee. So that's included in the $307. Saturday, September 20th, just for a random jump a month ahead to off-season, $259. And then a random Tuesday in December to go fully off-season, probably about as cheap a room as you're going to get there, is $164.
That sounds a little bit pricey, but I mean, if it's a nice hotel, you have to have a floor somewhere. But I don't think they're going to be selling a lot of rooms for $164 in December.
Yes, occupancy, I think, in the middle of the week in December at $164 is going to be quite low.
Yeah.
I'd be very interested to check it out. I actually think the thing that would get me to check it out is if for some reason I was going with my wife on like a Saturday in the summer. Because a lot of times I can't get casino hotels for much cheaper than that $307. So assuming that that's about the rate that they go for, it's just south of Tropicana. So it's a little bit far down the end of the boardwalk, but you do get your access to all the stuff around Tropicana. It puts you within walking distance to things like Tony's Baltimore Grill and Knife and Fork and Bird Cage. Is it called Bird Cage? I can't remember.
Chelsea Pub and Inn. Come on, the best place, obviously.
It's a Marriott hotel, so all the Marriott Bonvoy loyalists will appreciate that it takes Marriott points.
They'll get Bonvoy there.
I don't know enough about Bonvoy to know how to look up like the points and what the points structure is, so I didn't do that. But I know there's some travel people like, oh, what about the points? I don't know. I don't know the answer.
You didn't do it? You didn't click the one button that's like use points and then it tells you the point rate?
Well, but I don't know, like, how does is Marriott just like tiers where it's a certain amount of points, or is it dynamic where the points change?
It's pretty dynamic, I think.
Then, yeah. The prices will tell you generally what the points are if you're a Marriott person. You
maybe the
figure.
Lowest level room is tiered, but yeah, everything else will... I'm not in the Marriott ecosystem, so I don't really know either, but I think Marriott is bad.
I booked a Marriott hotel for Disney for April.
That doesn't sound like you're staying on property.
It is. It's the Dolphin.
Oh, really? It's a Marriott?
Walking distance to Epcot in Hollywood, whatever. So it's not a Disney hotel, but it's on property. All the Disney folks will know exactly what I'm talking about.
I've stayed at the Dolphin, I think.
Oh, really?
I was like 8.
Awesome. Did you love it?
Yeah, I think I liked it. It might have been the Swan. No, I think it was the Dolphin.
Now you're just a Disney hater.
I don't love it, no. I like my Disney cruise. The Disney cruise was very nice. I do not like the parks, but I'm a hater, so.
We should have a whole episode about it after I go to Disney World.
I've got takes. We can do an episode after you go.
What I think is going to happen, because we very much went into this as like, okay, one-time thing, kids are going to be 8 and 11, perfect ages, they're done. What I think is going to happen now that I'm researching it and just knowing how I find something I like and want to do it over and over again, like Atlantic City and Vegas and Hershey Lodge, is I think I'm going to be scouring for a decent rate to do it again like a couple years later. That's what I think is going to happen, but we'll see. I may be like, no, I hated it, too crowded, like no value to be had there, which is certainly the complaint that everybody has. But we'll see. We'll talk about
it. It is very crowded.
We'll talk about it. Put a pin in it for post-April.
You need to be prepared to buy, like, whatever, the lightning pass or whatever, and, like, also maybe a couple separate
single speed ride.
Whatever.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're going to have a real bad time. So just consider that part of the cost of doing business.
My kids don't care a ton about rides, but there are some, like you got to do Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, there's some stuff that...
Pirates probably doesn't have the longest line
That's
in the
world. That's crazy.
Who knows?
It should.
The roller coasters have... The insane lines.
Yeah, my kids don't want to do any of those, thankfully.
Oh, really?
Apparently, this
my kids love them.
Slinky the dog or whatever is like the longest
the Toy Story
in the world.
Ride?
Yeah. All right, that's enough Disney. You know what could make our podcast literally 100 times more popular?
If it was a Disney podcast?
If it was a Disney podcast.
Or a Vegas podcast, frankly.
If you look at the travel category in iTunes, it's literally like...
I think the top two travel are Disney, right?
Yeah, it's like Disney, 500 by midnight. Disney.
Uh-huh.
All right. People love their Disney.
Mailbag.
We have a mailbag starting with Chris D, who emailed. And I actually responded to him because I was worried that he wouldn't get it in time.
Mm-hmm.
So I do respond to an email every now and again. It's not often, but it will happen.
It has happened from time to time.
He said, planning a trip to AC at some point this summer, thinking of staying and playing craps and video poker at Borgata. In terms of video poker, where's your favorite place to play? I'm looking more for comp drinks and a good vibe over the best pay tables. So there you go. Vibe over value. I know Borgata has B-Bar and I heard Hard Rock is good. So Hard Rock Center Bar is my favorite place to play, except that they don't comp on Fridays and Saturdays. So that is a huge downer. It makes it very hard to recommend it as a video poker bar. If you're going on a weeknight, I still think it's great. Borgata still has 9-6 full pay jacks or better at the quarter level on the casino floor over by Angeline. It's in the smoking section, which is kind of annoying. But I think that is now the only full pay quarter jacks or better on a casino floor in Atlantic City now that Caesars has went insane and there's 6-5 jacks or better all over the casino floor.
There used to be so many at Caesars properties, right? Like the Toga Bar, Harrah's had that bank of three together, like right in the middle of the floor.
Yeah, I mean, Bally's used to have a ton back when it was a Caesars property.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not to say everything at Caesars is 6-5, but there was certainly no 9-6 that we could find when we were there.
I mean, there is in the high limit room, but not at a quarter.
Right. B-Bar is very nice. It can be tough to get a seat.
Yep.
Golden Nugget, I think, actually has two decent video poker bars. You were there last time and played some bar top video poker, right?
No, I played video poker in the High Limit Room, where it was 6. So.
Okay, so there's a video poker bar on the
casino
floor.
There is a video poker bar. Yep.
Bar 46, I think. And then there's the Rush Lounge has, I think it's also 8-5, both of them, video poker.
Which is not bad.
They're both fun spots to hang out at. Yeah, 8-5 at Bar Top is...
acceptable, I think.
Is acceptable. It's worse than that at Tropicana. I mean, at Harrah's, not at Tropicana.
Famously, Caesars has the 9-6, but you may get one on a two-pair bar top video poker.
Right.
Surely the worst.
Yeah, at the Hell's Kitchen. 10 North Lounge at Tropicana is a cool spot, but they don't comp if you're just gold status, so keep that in mind. And I actually think one really underrated spot is the Sportsbook at Borgata, if you're just going to sit and you have a sporting event you want to watch. So if you're going to Borgata anyway, maybe you can't get a seat at the B-Bar, go check out the Sportsbook and, you know, have a beer and some fries and play some video poker. That's a good time, too. So I think that's my list. Ocean, I haven't played video poker at in a while.
I thought you played somewhat recently when you had some bad experience with someone who was too drunk.
Oh, that was years ago.
Like
years ago?
I don't know.
I think it was post-COVID, but it was years ago. Yeah, I mean, the sports book, the service that I had that night was not very good, but the bartender was dealing with some stuff with patrons, unfortunately. And then there's that 1927 bar area that's now like a pop-up bar. I think right now it's the birthday bar.
I mean, I'll just be bitter all the time that there's no dancers there anymore or whatever.
It's true. Again, the service I've had there is not the best. They don't really have particularly good drink options. Like the number of ingredients they have to make various drinks is not very high. So if you just want basic stuff, it's probably fine. But, you know, if you're like me and you're all bougie about your cocktails, you're going to struggle. Whereas B-Bar is probably the one place that you can pretty reliably get a good drink.
Yep.
Although, related to that, we got a comment from Randy M., who is legendary in Due for a Win lore for coining the term $2,000 blown glass chihuahuas, which every time I walk by one of those gift shops in a casino with little Swarovski characters or just random like windows in New York City, I think about $2,000 blown glass chihuahuas. So it's a thing that regularly pops into my mind. Randy said, I finally checked out the new B-Bar. After waiting for a seat at the bar to open at 1 in the afternoon on a weekday, I sat down and seeing they had plenty of bourbons to choose from, I tried to order a Maker's Manhattan only to be told the only bourbon they comp is Wild Turkey. I had just tier matched to gold that day, so I guess that's regardless of status. Then, looking through the pay tables, I couldn't find anything that wasn't awful. My current go-to is Triple Play Double-Double Bonus, which was 7-5. Later checked the Sportsbook bar, and it was the same. X Bar at Harrah's and Toga at Caesars both have this at 9-5, so that was disappointing. Between the fact that it's hard to get on a machine, the crappy pay tables, and limitations on comp drinks, I'm having trouble finding a good reason to play video poker at Borgata over a Caesars property. So, some rare love for Caesars properties. What do you think about that?
I can't speak too much to it. I've only been there once, right after it opened. I didn't inquire about the full range of scotches that were available for a comp, but I got a Black Label, which is not the like nicest scotch in the world or whatever, but it's what I find like a more than acceptable level of quality for a comp scotch. I don't remember what the pay tables were, but I don't think they were like too bad at the bar.
Yeah,
for Jacks or better. Do you remember what I said it was? 8-5 maybe, or maybe 7-5. I'm not sure. But yeah, I thought the newbie bar was quite nice, so I didn't have any problems with it. So then did you end up not playing at B-Bar that trip?
I don't think I played at the newbie
bar. I don't think you did. Yeah. You left right after we had dinner at the Sportsbook, and I think it was later that night that I was playing at the B-Bar.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I couldn't drink anyway, so I wouldn't have played at the B-Bar. Correct.
Yeah.
So I guess Randy is going more for value over vibes at his video poker. There you go. Again, I mean, B-Bar is so nice, so I would probably choose to play there even on a not great pay table. I mean, I played 7-5 Jacks or better at the video poker bar at Harrah's, so clearly I have no standards for either value or vibes.
I would play 7-5 at a nice video poker bar. 6-5 I probably would not play, I don't think. I mean, maybe if there's like a ton of people that wanted to go to the video poker bar and I got kind of peer pressured into it, maybe I would, but I would never go myself and sit down at a 6-5 video poker bar and play there.
Yeah, agreed. So speaking of Manhattans and ordering specific drinks, Doherty's Happy Hour has bullet cocktails on special. So I asked for a bullet rye Manhattan and the bartender said, we don't do Manhattans on Happy Hour, which was interesting to me because they were making approximately a billion bullet old fashions. And to me, making a Manhattan is significantly easier than making a bunch of individual old fashions. But I'm not a bartender, so I don't know. I'm surprised. I don't know if it's just like, hey, there's another alcoholic ingredient in there. You can't have it because of the vermouth. But it seemed kind of odd.
Oh, this is you talking, not Randy.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. Gotcha.
That was on our trip. That was when me and Dave were at the Doherty's Happy Hour. So I thought that
was a little bit strange. I mean, I like old fashions plenty as well. I like Manhattans better, but
yeah, I should have just gotten an old fashioned. Instead, I paid full price for some other cocktail, which is actually very good. The cocktails at Doherty's are good. So back to Randy M. He also confirmed our thoughts about the Voodoo Lounge at Harrah's that we talked about last episode, or at least I did. He says, I'll take the liberty of including the PR speak from Harrah's website because I know that is prime podcast content.
That's what the people demand.
So Harrah's says, a new spellbinding nightlife destination for crafted cocktails and live entertainment at Harrah's Resort Atlantic City. Step into a world of mystique and rhythm where every sip casts a charm and every beat stirs the soul. The night comes alive with dazzling performances, immersive vibes, and an energy that's pure magic. And then Randy says, I'll translate this into regular speak. The walls are a different color now.
It's very good. I think that should be our new thing. Like, anyone who wants to send an email with some PR content from one of the casinos, Craig will read it on air.
But you've also got to throw me a TLDR version. Okay. So for this one, it's the walls are a different color now. This is incredible language for what is a video poker bar that sometimes has live music.
Every beat stirs the soul, Craig.
A destination for crafted cocktails? Whoa. Pump the brakes.
Yeah, let me tell you what's not a destination for crafted cocktails.
I mean, I think I got a gin and tonic, and it was fine. The bartender seemed not that happy to serve it to me, I have to say.
It's a man who hates tips.
It was a woman.
Oh, a woman who hates tips.
Yeah. I've had some surly bartender service, I have to say, at video poker bars. The guy at the corner video poker bar was very good service. Chatted us up a little bit.
Give you the service you deserved.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Some people like the surly thing. You know, got to pay extra for that sometimes.
Isn't there some place in Vegas where you go and you get yelled at basically by the servers the whole time?
There's the one German beer house or whatever.
Oh, yeah, where they spank you.
Spank you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
Quite hard by all accounts.
Yeah, no thanks. My pain tolerance is incredibly low, I have to say. So I'm not into any of that.
I don't know.
All right. Last email from Don C. Do you want to jump into this one? We had a little back and forth over email about it, but...
Sure, I can read it. So Don C. says, I'm always very aware of my ADP and how the casinos rate me. I'm normally a Borgata guy, but me and the wife want to bring her daughter down for an overnight trip beach day this week, and I have weekday comps at Ocean. We'll be going Tuesday morning and spending the night, and the only gambling that will be done is Tuesday night when everyone goes to bed. I'm debating booking Wednesday night as well, so we can spend the day there and not have to worry about checking out. Let's say I normally bring $1,000 for a night. Would gambling $2,000 on Tuesday night and then zero on Wednesday be adequate for them to continue my current offers? Or do you think seeing a $0 play day would get me penalized regardless? Curious on your thoughts. So you replied to him, right? Why don't you say what you replied with?
I did reply, just for a refresher, since we haven't talked about this comp nonsense in a while. ADP is...
ADT? Average Daily Theoretical?
Yeah, Average Daily Theoretical. I'm assuming he means like play or something here. But yeah, ADT, Average Daily Theoretical, is like how much, based on how much you're playing in a day, how much the casino expects you to lose, right? Based on your play level and your amount of time playing and what it is that you're playing. So then their comps to you are based on what they expect you to do when you come back. So the idea here from Don is, okay, so I'm only going to play one night, but I'm going to be there 2 days. Can I double my one day and then my ADT is averaged out over the 2 days? My thinking is, if you're really concerned about losing the comps, I would be nervous about putting in a zero play day for a night that you have a comp, because casinos can be pretty punitive sometimes, even if you play a lot the one day. Having that zero, I would be nervous about. I think that was pretty much the gist of my reply to him. If it were me, I probably would not book the Wednesday night, unless you want to just look at it as, I'm not even going to worry about the comps. I'm going to take these comps as my reward for gambling in the past. And then if I lose my comps in the future, I'll just build them up in the future. But if you are worried about the future comps, I personally would be a little worried about booking the Wednesday night. You seem to just say, like, do it.
Yeah, I would think you should do it. I mean, the way I see it is if they're smart, right? And that's a big caveat. But I think over the last time that we've had this podcast, the last 10 years, I believe the casinos have gotten a lot smarter, which has, you know, chased some people away from the industry because they're not as easy to take advantage of as they once were. You know, the smart thing to do would be, all right, what's your trip theoretical? And that's kind of the old school way of looking at it, right? And if it's still $1,000 a night, why would they care? I don't think it's a big deal.
I agree that it shouldn't be a big deal. The other part of this that I'll say, well, two parts. So I'm not a very big player to begin with, so I expect that a zero day may hurt me more than it hurts someone who's bringing more money.
I don't necessarily agree, but like I don't see why it matters.
That's fine.
Frankly.
The other thing I would say is I wouldn't double your play just for comps, because that's just playing for comps, right? Like the $1,000 to $2,000 example. If you really want to play extra and jam it in because you've only got limited time, that's fine. But if you're just bringing an extra $1,000 to maintain your comps, then you're better off just taking the room as a win and seeing what happens, right? Because you don't actually know that only playing $1,000 and no playing on Wednesday is going to hurt you. You don't actually know that playing $2,000 on Tuesday and then playing none on Wednesday is going to help. So I would say do not play for the comps and just go with whatever you'd normally gamble with, or maybe increase it a tiny bit, but don't play that much extra for the comps, I would say. As a general rule, don't play for comps is like gospel, I think, in the gambling world. And yet, you know, tons of people play for comps.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't disagree in theory with what you're saying. Luckily, I haven't had to do it in a while, but certainly in the old days, like 5 years ago or 8 years ago, I was booking a lot of rooms for people.
Yeah.
And so, like, I would always go play some at these properties where I have a room booked, in theory, even if I'm not staying there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I do think, that is a level of playing for comps where you almost have to do it, right? Like, you can't just no-play a place that you're...
I mean, you can.
I've certainly done it. And gotten the punitive rates.
It is great when your rates are higher than the public rates. Truly one of the most amazing things about Atlantic City.
It's great.
Here's the other thing. Like, if you're not getting... Like you said, you have weekday comps at Ocean, which indicates to me, though you didn't say it, like you might not have weekend comps at Ocean, in which case, yeah, $1,000 should be more than enough to keep your weekday comps at Ocean, I would think. Like, I gamble far less than that, and I have weekday comps at Ocean, and even Fridays, maybe, so.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you're not getting Friday, Saturday night comps to begin with, you're already in probably what's a huge range of players of, you know, all the way down to me, where I get usually Monday through Thursday comp, and some Sundays, and even in the summer. So, right.
But not at Ocean?
No, at Ocean.
Oh, really? I thought you said they hated you.
I mean, July, I don't think I got any comps. But yeah, once it got into August, again, I was getting weeknights, which is weird. Although I played for 20 minutes last time I went, so that'll probably be gone.
How do you decide when to put your card in and when not to? Because you said you didn't play with your card at Golden Nugget, but you did at Ocean. So is it like random?
I thought we were going to be there for a little longer than we ended up there, but then we got hungry and left for food. Uh-huh. Also, just vibes. That's the whole theme of the episode. Gonna... Sometimes you just, you know.
It had been a while, and you have to let them know you're alive.
Part of it is, like we're talking about, I get terrible comps at Ocean anyway, so like, what am I worried about losing?
You can get no comps at Ocean.
It's possible. We'll find out. So revenue data happened. You put that into the spreadsheet.
I did.
What did you see?
Revenue looked good. How many weekends was July compared to last year?
Oh, what? I got to look at a calendar now? Just a regular 4-weekend month.
Only 4 weekends, yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was up about 5%, 4.5%, I'd say, year over year. The only properties that were down were Caesars, Golden Nugget, and Tropicana. Tropicana was only down 1%. Everyone else is up for the year, though Hard Rock was only up 1%. Ocean was up 18%, though I think that their July last year was some sort of horrible abomination, so...
Yeah, I mean, they also, Ocean was up 30% in June and 32% in May. So they're having quite a run.
Mm-hmm. It's good to be Ocean.
It is, although not as good as being Borg, who got $79.9 million.
$80 million.
I looked, and we've been tracking revenue since 2012. This is the third best month, I believe, that any casino has posted in terms of revenue. The other two also being July's at Borgata, July 2019. And July 2016 were both $80.8 million. So very close, but couldn't quite get there. And July is almost universally better than an August in Atlantic City. So I don't expect them to beat it in August, but it's a good month for Borgata.
It's a good month for Atlantic City, by and large.
Golden Nugget.
Golden Nugget obviously had a bad month.
$12.9 million.
And the Caesars properties didn't have a great month. I mean, even Harrah's, who was the one that was up, had like an incredibly lucky month. So
yeah.
Kind of same old, same old. Good to see the likes of Resorts in second place, up 8.5%. So not in second place overall, but in terms of what they gained year over year.
Yeah. Resorts with a massive month.
Yeah. That's $50 million. No. Yep. By and large, it was a good month. Very strong July in Atlantic City. So we'll see what happens going forward. I don't have too much more to say than that.
It seems like it's been a very good summer, I have to say. I mean, certainly not for, say, Tropicana and Harrah's and Golden Nugget, but otherwise it's been pretty good. Bally's had a nice rebound after being down massively in really all of Q2. They were up 6% year over year. Caesars is weird because last month it was the anomaly. Last month they were up 7.5%, and it was like, okay, nice little rebound. And this month they've returned to form to down 6%. So
yeah,
Caesars
back
man.
To normal.
Caesars yeah. properties.
Caesars is a bad property, so you shouldn't go there.
It has the sperm chandelier, though.
It does have that. That's when you know you're in Atlantic City.
I know. We haven't spent enough time staring at the sperm chandelier recently, so I have to do a little walkthrough of Caesars at some point just to soak that in.
When are we going to Atlantic City?
I don't know.
Really let it soak in?
September.
Sure.
Weekend of the 10th.
Oh. Which is weird because that's a Wednesday, but yes.
Weekend of the 13th. So that's the Colorado meetup. That's a good question. I mean, my work gets insane now. So I've got about
the start of the school year.
Yeah. 3 weeks of just insanity, probably through like the weekend after Labor Day.
Can't be that busy. You're coming down to Maryland.
On a Saturday. And then going back on a Sunday. It's going to be like a 20-hour trip to Maryland.
We should go on a weekend night. It's been a while since we've done that, right?
We should do that. Let's figure that out.
Do a Friday night now that's the off-season. We can get some comps.
Yeah, I'll have to look at my calendars. I hate when the summer's over, but it is an exciting time for booking Atlantic City because all of a sudden
right.
the rates go way, way down.
And isn't that what's important?
It is.
And by all accounts, the weather's still quite nice in the fall. So
value over vibes, that's what I'll say. Actually, I really like the slightly less crowded shoulder months, as you've called them in the past, like September, October.
I mean, like,
I even like the winter, but...
Is January really a great time to be in Atlantic City? I might think so, but I'm the only one.
I really like it.
October is like perfectly pleasant outside still.
Yeah, nice to walk on the boardwalk.
You know, maybe you need to put on a hoodie or something, but you know, it's still pretty nice and have nice coffee and I'd say it's nice.
It's a great time. Some would say the best time.
All right. End of September, early October. What we should do is bring it up on Saturday when we're with 10 people.
10 people.
Yeah.
All of whom love and want to go to Atlantic City. Do you think everybody's just like, why do you keep bringing this up? I don't want to go to Atlantic City. I've said no the last 18 times.
Do you know what is important? I don't actually care if that's what they think. So
you're just going to keep bringing it up. That's a good point. Yeah. Keep spamming.
Mm-hmm.
It's like those phishing scams.
Got to keep spamming.
Most people are going to ignore them, but you get a couple people who are like, oh, I got to pay my Easy Pass.
Yeah, I love it when I get those Easy Pass spams from international phone numbers. Yeah, and I'm right. like, if you fall for this, at least if it's from like a, you know, Maryland number, it's like
okay.
reasonable that some
it's
old
possible.
Falls for it. But when it's from like Pakistan or something, I'm just like, what are you doing, guys? If you're paying this, you're bad at life.
I bet a lot of people pay it.
Oh, I'm sure. The olds, they just love paying Easy Pass scams.
So all I'm saying is our Atlantic City trips are basically exactly like an Easy Pass tech scam.
That's right.
Yeah. I just want to really hammer home the metaphor.
It's just, it's about, you know, you have a 1% success rate, so you need to get as many at-bats as possible, and someone will eventually be like, yeah, I'll go to Atlantic City with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So, that's that.
All right.
Another great episode, 260.
260.
If you listen to one episode every 2 weeks, it will take you 10 years to finish.
But if you listen to one episode every 10 years, then you've listened to episode 1 and episode 260, I guess.
Wow. This feels almost philosophical. Do you think there's anybody who listened to episode 1 and then they're like 10 years later like, let me check out this Do For Win show again. I'm going to listen to episode 260. That seems unlikely to me.
Yeah, it doesn't seem likely.
I bet there are people who are very sporadic. Like, I don't listen to the Vegas podcast.
A lot of people probably don't listen to every episode. It depends on if it seems like we're having a trip report.
Yeah, or if they have a trip, right.
Oh, that's true too. If they're going to go to Atlantic City, they'll start listening again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Or, like I said, I think people really like trip reports, so if it seems like from the title that we went on a trip, maybe they'll listen.
Got to do my SEO. Every episode should look like a trip report in the title.
It should. It should. Listeners hate this one weird trick.
Oh, no.
Man. Tricking amazing. The listeners. Yeah, that's really the problem. We need much more, what's it called on YouTube when like the thumbnail
clickbait.
Is like clickbait. Yeah, nothing about what the video's about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We should do that.
I hear that does not engender
no, people hate
disgruntlement
it.
Among your listenership.
I'm going to go back to posting on YouTube, but it's all going to be... it won't even be like Atlantic City related clickbait.
You need to come up with an incredible thumbnail every time. And yeah. It's just, yeah, the audio of the episode. What they do for a win, World Headquarters as the only image.
Yeah. But then the titles will be about, like, not even about Atlantic City. It'll be like, these penny stocks are headed for the moon. Or like, you know, this one thing is killing your gains. So,
for some reason, every once in a while when I'm on YouTube, once every 3 months, it'll be like, do for a win content. Like, do you want this? And it's always the Casino Kid episode that I get.
Awesome.
And I was like, yeah, Casino Kid, that's a good NES game.
We should, for the 10th anniversary, have...
playthrough of Casino Kid?
Like a 24-hour marathon play session on Twitch of Casino Kid. Or the Amiga Trump Castle
Donald Trump
game.
Trump Castle, yeah.
I think that's good.
That's good. It's crossover between Atlantic City fans and Donald Trump fans. We'll get all of the listeners.
We will. It's perfect.
It's actually the same group. So anyway, if you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so to Facebook or facebook.com/group/doForAWin. Find all of our great content at doForAWin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at doForAWin or me at Kyle Askin, and send Craig questions doForAWin@gmail.com, and we will eventually talk about them on air.
Eventually.
Also send Craig your casino press releases.
Yes, and send me updates for the resort fees if you see changed resort fees. We got one of those, too. Mm-hmm. I believe Hard Rock has increased their resort fee, which we need to update. Keith emailed telling us this.
If that is his real name.
If Keith S. is his real name. $40.02 a night for a comp room at the Hard Rock.
Ooh. $40 was fine, but the 2 cents.
No.
Do I want 98 cents change? Absolutely not.
Surely you're paying with cash, too.
That's so. The only... Is there another way to pay? I don't understand.
All right. Well, then.
All right. Thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll have another episode probably before this episode airs, judging by what Craig is saying.
How would that work, though? They won't hear this.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's not about them.
All right. We've inceptioned the editing of the podcast. Speaking of editing, I don't know when I'm editing this. This is like my busiest 2 weeks of work, as you can tell by the time that we're recording this episode.
But then luckily, right after that, you'll be able to go to Blackhawk, right?
Yes, surely.